It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is August 31st, 2021, and that means that it is Tuesday. Oh man, so I might be getting yelled at virtually right now, but good old Amazon, US West 2, if to be precise, is having some issues, which means that all the managers who were all gung-ho about moving stuff out of our local closet into Amazon are very freaked out right now. Anyway, such is life. I'm going to go ahead and connect to comm. All you need to do that is SSH over to a non-radio, or excuse me, SSH over to SDF. That's just SSHnew@SDF.org. If you're not a member yet, you fill out the sign-up form. Then the program to chat is comm, C-O-M. You press G for go to and type in on radio, all lowercase, all one word. Press enter, and boom, you're in the room. And then you get to hang out with cool people like Publius and Northern Lights and X1 and Tobe and Jazzmaz, who's always listening. Just all the cool people are hanging out. So it's a lot of fun. Definitely. Anyway, I enjoy it. So if you want to hang out and talk, jump on in. If not, that's okay too. I'm going to try and not be freaking out, but I'm going to read the news promptly, and then run back to my desk to be like, oh my god, what did I miss? Please don't give me, I hope nothing's burned down. But, you know what? We got to get the news in, because that's what we do. And we're going to start the way we always start. World News. So we start with a kind of good story. 15 years ago, when darkness used to fall in Yobi Nkosi, a remote village in northern Malawi, children did their school homework by candlelight. There was no electricity. But that started to change in 2006, when villager Colward Nkosi finished, oh wow, he's named after the city he's in, finished secondary school in Mzimba, some 40 kilometers away, and returned home and found he could no longer live without power. Age 23 at the time, Nkosi soon figured out that a stream gushing past the house where he grew up had just enough force to push the pedals on his bicycle. He created a makeshift dynamo that brought power into his home. Word spread quickly about among the cluster of brick houses, and neighbors began paying regular visits to charge their mobile phones. I started getting requests for electricity and decided to upgrade, said Nkosi, now 38, sawing through machinery on his veranda in blue overalls. With no prior training, he turned an old fridge compressor into a water-powered turbine and put it in a nearby river, generating electricity for 6 households. Today, the village is supplied by a bigger turbine built from the motor of a disused maize sheller, a machine that skims kernels of corn off the cob. The gadget has been set up on the village outskirts. The power is carried along metal cables strung from a 2-kilometer line of tree trunks topped with wooden planks. The users pay no fee for the power, but give Nkosi some money for maintenance, slightly more than $1 per household per month. The electricity is basically free, Nkosi said, speaking in local Chichua. He added that the maintenance income was too small to cover repair costs, which he mainly funded from his own pocket. Despite the challenges, he's determined to expand his mini-grid to surrounding areas. Once more villages and schools have electricity, people no longer cut down trees for charcoal, he said. Students will have a lot more time to study. As dust settles over Kasangazi Primary School, perched on an adjacent hilltop, chatty groups of learners file into a classroom for a nighttime study session. Before we had electricity here, we used to use candles to study, said student, Gift Mfuni, sorting through a heap of textbooks on his desk. Now we all have no excuse but to pass our examinations, he exclaimed. Courtesy of Nkosi, the building is the only school with power out of 17 others servicing the area. Only around 11% of Malawi's 19 million or so inhabitants have access to electricity, making it one of the world's least electrified countries, according to Sustainable Energy for All. So, no word yet on any any kind of like regulation or safety measures, or what the voltage is. So I don't know. This is cool, but it's kind of troubling, because there are a lot of high-tech ways to generate power and low-tech ways to generate power, but if they're using a giant turbine and generating, you know, a significant amount of power, they could have some trouble on their hands. But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was a good sign. It was a pleasant thing going on, or good news. In Afghanistan, a visibly petrified TV anchor reads headlines while surrounded by gun-toting Taliban members. A video of an Afghan TV presenter dressed in a suit and tie continuing to host his talk show while... I'm going to stop using The Independent because they throw up full-page stuff over your over everything and then you can't read the freaking story. Hold on. Okay. Block, block, block. All right. A video of an Afghan prisoner suit blah has gone viral on social media. The 42-second clip shows the host of Afghanistan TV, identified by Vice as Mirwais Hadari Hakdos, sitting next to a Taliban leader while reading out a statement from the hardline group. According to media reports, the men stormed the building on Sunday and demanded to speak to the presenter. The anchor, who held the program in Pashto, spoke about the collapse of the Ashraf Ghani government in Afghanistan and urged the locals to cooperate with the group and not be afraid. The irony of the gunman appearing in front of a banner identifying the program as from Afghanistan's peace studio was not lost on social media users, who were quick to point out that the dire state of press freedom and individual liberty under the Taliban rule. Afghanistan TV's surreal, wrote BBC anchor Yalda Hakim. This is what a political debate now looks like on Afghan TV. Taliban foot soldiers watching over the host. And it is pretty troubling to watch. But yeah, it's basically these armed militant guys pointing their rifles at somebody and making them say how much they love the peace and joy in the country and stuff. So very wild. Let's see. Oh yeah, it's definitely cool. I'm excited about the power generation. Do not be afraid of these men holding me at gunpoint. Exactly. Exactly, Pulis. One other story. This is kind of like, let's talk about an environmental disaster. Authorities in Cyprus are monitoring an oil slick that originated from a power plant on Syria's Mediterranean coast and could soon affect the island. Syrian state media said last week there had been a spill from the plant, which is inside the Banias oil refinery. Satellite imagery showed the slick spread north along the Syrian coast before moving eastward toward Cyprus. Modeling suggests that it will reach the Carpus Peninsula in the Turkish-controlled north on Tuesday. The North's prime minister said it was taking all necessary measures to prevent the slick causing damage and was receiving assistance from Turkey. The Cypriot government said it was ready to provide help if requested. And it is huge. It is very... They have an interesting tweet. They tweeted of satellite imagery. And it's not a small amount. It looks like it would basically cover the entire region, that entire peninsula it's heading to. It's almost 1,000 square kilometers. Syria's government said last Tuesday there'd been an accidental leak from a fuel tank, which is part of the war-torn country, under its control. The following day, Syria's state-run Sana news agency reported that the slick had reached the town of Jabla, about 20 kilometers to the north. Teams began cleaning up the oil from rocky areas of the coast, applying sand to soak up the fuel, as well as machines using suction. Yeah, this is fine. It's pretty troubling here. In Belarus, welcome, SMJ. Welcome, welcome. Belarus border. Poland seeks emergency order amid asylum seeker surge. The Polish government asked the president on Tuesday to declare a state of emergency in two regions on its borders with Belarus after the Polish border guard said hundreds of irregular crossings had taken place this month. Poland began building a barbed wire fence last week along the border in an effort to curb the flow of asylum seekers from countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan crossing from Belarus. A state of emergency would give authorities broader power to monitor and control people's movements. President Andrzej Duda, a close ally of the ruling Nationalist Law and Justice Party, is likely to approve the state of emergency, which would last for 30 days and cover parts of the Podlaski and Lubelski regions. The situation on the border with Belarus is a crisis and is still tense, Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki told a news conference as he announced the move. So, the PIS. Relations between the European Union and Belarus have worsened sharply over the past year. Since President Alexander Lukashenko claimed victory in his election, his opponents in Western countries say was rigged. The EU slapped economic sanctions on Belarus and has accused Lukashenko of deliberately encouraging asylum seekers to cross irregularly into Poland and the Baltic states of Latvia and Lithuania in a form of hybrid warfare. Lukashenko's regime decided to push these people into Polish, Lithuanian, and Latvian territory in an effort to destabilize them. So, Polish authorities have faced criticism from human rights groups for not accepting asylum seekers and for denying those at the border adequate medical care. Warsaw says they are responsible. They are the responsibility of the Belarusian authorities. Hey, welcome, Stug and Illuminator. Thank you for joining up. Yes, ban teddy bears. Very disrespectful to teddy bears. All right. So this is kind of good news. I don't know. There's never any good news whenever somebody's killed. But a court in Bangladesh has sentenced 6 Islamist militants to death in the brutal murder of 2 rights activists 5 years ago. In April 2016, Zulhaz Manan, a prominent gay rights campaigner and a magazine editor, and his friend and fellow activist Mahbub Rabi Tonoi were attacked by a group at Manan's residence in the capital city of Dhaka and murdered. Judge Mojibur Rahman of the Anti-Terrorism Special Tribunal ruled that the 6 defendants were responsible for the killings of the 2 men, but acquitted 2 others. Police had indicted 8 suspect militants in the case. 4 of the defendants were present amid tight security in the court Tuesday, while the two others remain at large. Prosecutors identified all of them as members of Ansar al-Islam, a domestic militant group. Defense lawyers vowed to appeal the ruling to the High Court. So, we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know if there's any update. But I thought that was good news that people were facing justice, even in those kind of places. Hey, Rusta. Welcome. What's going on? Oh, sorry. Yeah, sound on old devices is a big pain in the neck. Man, I've been talking a bunch.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Let's do one more story and then we'll get a song out. Tanzania's opposition leader arrives in court under tight scrutiny. The leader of Tanzania's main opposition party appeared in the country's high court on Tuesday to face terrorism charges in a case described by his party as a politically motivated move to crush dissent. Chadema Party Chairman Freeman Mbowe and his supporters accused police of torturing him in custody to force him to make a statement in the trial, which opened under tight security, with most journalists banned from the courtroom by police. Mbowe has been behind bars since July 21st, when he was arrested along with other senior Chadema officials in a nighttime police raid just hours before they were to hold a public forum to demand constitutional reforms. The 59-year-old has been charged with terrorism, financing, and conspiracy in a case that has sparked concerns about the state of democracy and the rule of law under President Samia Suluhu Hassan. On Monday, Mbowe had appeared in court to pursue a case against top legal officials, claiming his constitutional rights had been violated during his arrest and when he was charged. Hassan's government, citing COVID-19 regulations and security, had warned foreign diplomats against turning up to court to follow the case without notifying the foreign ministry. So, prosecutors say allegations against Mbowe do not relate to the Constitutional Reform Conference, and Chadema has said prosecutors accuse Mbowe of conspiring to attack a public official and giving 600,000 Tanzanian shillings, or $260 US, towards blowing up petrol stations and public gatherings and cutting down trees to block roads. So, so that will be, anyway, we'll keep our eyes open on this story. There's a lot of, politics are a lot more violent, or at least democracy's a lot more in your face, it seems. But I like that these countries are trying. People are fighting, so. Anyway. We're going to go ahead and...
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Go ahead and play a song, and then we will get back into the news, because there's plenty more to talk about. So let's see what we got. What's cooking? What's rolling around out there? Let's see. Yes. Do, do, do. Oh, perfect. There's a song called Gasoline from Audioslave.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And that was Gasoline from Audioslave, a band from, I guess, the 90s, early 2000s? Probably 90s. Who am I kidding? Oh, better close the door. The radio's on in the other room. All right. Well, let's finish up. We got a bunch of world news. We got some domestic news. Lots of stuff happening just all over the place.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Well, we got to talk about an alpaca that's dead. An alpaca at the center of a legal row with the government has been killed. Geronimo twice tested positive for bovine tuberculosis, and the Department of Food, Environment, and Rural Affairs ordered him to be euthanized to stop the spread of the disease. Owner Helen McDonald there's a nursery rhyme called Old McDonald Had a Farm, and so it's funny that the owner of the farm is McDonald. Owner Helen McDonald disputed the results and mounted several high court challenges to save him. "I'm disgusted by this government. These are barbaric actions," she said. DEFRA, the organization that said that it was sick, staffed dressed in blue overalls, goggles, and mask, accompanied by police, arrived at her farm in Wickwer, near Bristol, at 1100 hours BST, and led Geronimo away, with the scene broadcast on an online live feed of the enclosure. A spokesman confirmed the destruction warrant had been carried out after Geronimo was taken away from his pen and loaded into a trailer. The vehicle then left the scene under police escort, with a number of protesters watching. Ms. McDonald said the government had refused to act in good faith and had ignored her pleas for constructive dialogue. "We know now they have been stringing us along for the last week, fobbing us off by saying people are on holiday and would get back to us. In fact, all the time they were simply planning to murder Geronimo. This is yet another appalling demonstration of bad faith and duplicity by the Secretary of State. Geronimo has been manhandled out of my farm." Supporters have been camping out of the farm trying to prevent people picking up Geronimo, and some were seen talking to police as the animal was removed. Ms. McDonald, a veterinary nurse, had called on DEFRA to allow Geronimo to be tested for a third time or to let him live to aid research into the disease. She argued the test used on Geronimo was flawed, and he had tested positive previously because he'd repeatedly been primed with tuberculin, a purified protein derivative of bovine TB bacteria. She lost a last-ditch high court appeal to save Geronimo on August 18th, and the destruction warrant gave DEFRA until September 4th to put the animal down. Wildlife television presenter Chris Packen and the Prime Minister's father, Stanley Johnson, also gave their support. To save the animal. A Downing Street spokesman said, "It's obviously highly distressing for someone to lose animals to TB, and that's a situation that farmers sadly have to face. Our sympathies are with Ms. McDonald and any others that are affected by this terrible disease." Ms. McDonald insisted Geronimo was perfectly healthy. So this has kind of been the legal battle that's been going back and forth. Tuberculosis is one, I don't know. It's very similar to the COVID-19 problem we have. With tuberculosis, if you have tuberculosis, even in the great state of the United States or in Texas, if you test positive for TB, it's do not pass go. You get wrapped up in some plastic and driven to a TB hospital. You'll have to pay out your butt for the hospital stay, but you're going to be locked up in that room until you don't test positive anymore. So, yeah, the governments take tuberculosis very seriously, and it's kind of one of these things. They don't get killed. I think it's because it's animal tuberculosis, they'll probably try to cure them, but who knows. It's probably because the animal probably can't afford the hospital stay. It's very scary. Tuberculosis is very scary, and a lot of diseases are super scary, and it's like, I don't know. We need to accept that public health isn't just about having toilets. It's about protecting everybody from stuff like that. All right, what else is going on? Well, where is it? We got a tech story, finally. Oh no, we're almost out of time. Anyway, Instagram's going to require all users to enter their birthday. The move is in part of the firm's effort to introduce child-safe experience for under 18s. The use of leaded petrol has been eradicated from the globe, according to the UN, which is great. Leaded gasoline's all the way out. Toxic forever chemicals continue to contaminate indoor air at worrying levels. And in Oregon, counties request trucks for bodies as COVID overwhelms the morgues. We're back in the morgues are overwhelmed state of the pandemic again. And a judge in Ohio ordered the hospital to treat a patient with horse drugs.
Well, that sounds, which is very troubling. Our time's come to an end.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Thanks for tuning in. I wish I had time to talk more about these domestic stories. Lots of craziness going on. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Oh, I guess my timing was a little off. Hey, what's going on? We'll play this till Toad picks up.
7, 6, 5.